Parshas Bukhukesai. It seems from this week's parsha that there are two very distinct choices. There's a Bukhukesai Telechu. We follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways, there's Mitzvah Tishmei V'Asisim Oisom, and you get the Brachus, and you get Shefa, and you get a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving exactly what you need. End of the parasha, or towards the middle of the parasha, it says, V'Mechukosa Leisei Lechu, and then a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us, basically, the warnings of the Holocaust. V'Mleisei Shmuli V'Leisa says, Kol Mitzvah Yisaele, and then we go through literally a Holocaust. Now what it seems is, to our minds, it's referring to two different kinds of people. There are those people who keep the Torah, and those people who don't keep the Torah. Chilonim and Charedim. Yeah, that's what it seems like. Keep the Torah, do this, don't keep the Torah, do that. And unfortunately, it's not quite as straightforward as that. And if I want to go through this parasha carefully, it's some very, very fascinating insights into this. Look at this carefully. For example, the pasuk says, if you look in Perik Chavav Pasuk Gimel, beginning of the parasha, Imchukaisai Telechu, Ves Mitzvaisai Tishmru, Va'asisem Oisom. Okay? So there are three different parts of this pasuk. Chukaisai Telechu is number one, going in the Chukim. Ves Mitzvaisai Tishmru, and you follow my mitzvahs. V'asisem Oisom, and do them. What do you get for that? So the next pasuk, V'nesati Gishmeichim Be'itom, number one, V'nosla Oisivulo, number two, V'eitzasolitit Imperi, number three. So the Mepharshim say that these three brachas in the second pasuk actually corresponds to those three different conditions in the first pasuk. In other words, Imchokosai Teilechu, if you go in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chukim, that is the reward will be V'nasati Gishmeichim Be'itam, I'll give you Geshem in the correct time. Ask the Mepharshim, what's the connection between Imchokosai Teilechu to V'nasati Gishmeichim Be'itam, giving you rain in the correct time, number one. Number two, what's Peshat V'nasati Gishmeichim Be'itam, I'll give it to you in the correct time. V'nasati Gishmeichim, I'll give you rain. What's Be'itam? What's the idea Be'itam? So there's a very, very beautiful Peshat, it's called the name of Ol Yaakov. He says like this. He says, what's Peshat V'chukosai Teilechu? We would understand it to mean, without Rashi, V'chukosai Teilechu means, you follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, says the Pasuk. Since it says, Mitzvosa Tishmoy Rav Asisim Oizim, says Rashi, Yochol Zeh Kima Mitzvahs, maybe V'chukosai Teilechu is referring to Kima Mitzvahs. So he says, K'sho'oima Ves Mitzvosa Tishmoru, Harikim Mitzvahs, oh, we're already talking about Kima Mitzvahs in the Pasuk. Homani Mekaimis V'chukosai Teilechu, how am I going to be Mekaim V'chukosai Teilechu? Shetiyu amelim batayra. Ashbi amal batayra. So Mechukosai Teilechu is referred to amal batayra, immersing yourself in Torah. That is corresponding to the bracha of V'nasati gishmeichim be'itam, I'll give you rain in the correct time. What's the shaykhus? What's the connection? This is very, very carefully. Chazal say, it's a medrash, Chazal say, Toiv Zumalachachayim. Toiv ma'oid zu malach ha'moves. Good is malach ha'chaim, the malach of life. Very good is malach ha'moves. Pshat behind that is as follows. Then in everything, let's understand this in a gashmius level. Anything in moderation is fantastic. Cleanliness is great. Hygiene is fantastic. But Nebuch, when people get OCD, when people become immersed in hygiene to an extent which is abnormal, they can ruin their lives. You get people who shower 20 hours a day. Are you aware of that? Nebuch, these people are sick. You get people who cannot bear the fact of the food touching another piece of food and makes it dirty. Right? You get people who love shopping. Nothing wrong with that if they have enough money. Or if the husband has enough money. Nothing wrong with that. But what happens is you get people who are shopaholics. And if people do not know where to stop, and they just buy and they buy and they buy and stuff they don't need, it's an illness. Some people enjoy food, fantastic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us food to enjoy, but they become obese. In any level, in anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, in moderation, it's great. Above that level, it becomes to get dangerous. Wine, fantastic. Use it. Maybe happy with it. But you can become nebuch, an alcoholic. That's an olam hazeh. In olam haba matters as well. when it comes to ruchnius, exactly the same applies. There's a mitzvah, for example, of a haftal reachol kamoicho. A mitzvah to look out for your friend, to be kind to him, to be thoughtful, to care about him, to have compassion, to have rachmonis. What do these diehard liberals say? You know, they killed bin Laden. Oh, what a cruel thing to do. Terrible, he shot a man at point blank range, he's unarmed. How can you do such a thing? You've got to take him to a court, and you've got to give him a lawyer with taxpayers' money, and then if you kill him, give him a decent burial. So what are you doing? You're just creating a situation where planes are going to be hijacked, people are going to be killed because trying to protect a murderer. So therefore, of course there's rachmanas, of course there's an element of caring for people and looking out that they get justice. But at a certain time, when you take justice is to shoot the guy in his right eye. That is justice. That is rachamin. Because the Chazal say, kol ha-merachim al ha-achzori, anyone has rachmanas on a person who is an achzor, who is
cruel,
soy folias achzori al rachmon. So then you'd be cruel on those people who deserve rachamin. And that's the way it is. There's got to be a gvul. There's a posuk. Oyave Hashem sinu roa. Kodesh Baruch Hu. Those people who love a Kodesh Baruch Hu hates bad. Yeah, hates bad. So you get people who are massive. Oh, they're standing up against bad. On the other hand, there's kiruv. You take a person who is terrible. You get a person who is a reform rabbi. You get a person who is standing against Torah and try and be makar of him. So there's eserachik eserkarid. There's a time for everything. It's very, very difficult. So where do we know how far you go? When am I makar of somebody? When am I merachik somebody? When do I have rachmanas? When am I machzor? When do you do that? Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch? The answer is, there's something called the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch. Yes, Aruch Chaim, Yerdea, Evan Ezra, Choyisha Mishpat, and Seichel. Yeah, the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch is called Seichel. It's called being able to make calculations yourself. It's called the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch. And this fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch allows a person to determine when and what, how and why. That is how a person works. And it takes, I'm talking about a person who really cares. For example, there's a story, the Belzers are very, very, very careful with Gabrox. There's a story once with Aaron the Belzer Rebbe. I'm not sure exactly the details behind it, but some reason or another his mother made matzah balls on Pesach, where there was a mistake. I'm not sure exactly what happened. And Rabbi Aaron ate the matzah balls, which is gabrok. So his chassidim asked him, Rebbe, you eating gabroks? He said, gabroks is a minhag. My mother worked hard. Not eating them is a deraisa. It's a kibbutz of a. So what's more important, a deraisa or a minhag? There's one story once when a person came into a certain, I don't remember which rebbe it was, but he was writing a Sefer Torah. And he was writing the Sefer Torah, and his wife came through the door. He put down his pen, he ran to his wife, oh, let me help you with the bags. And he was very kind and compassionate, how are you doing, can I make you a coffee? He says, Rebbe, it's also to be mafsik stam, in the middle of a posuk. He said, just stam in the middle of a posuk? He said, what do you mean? It says, by the Torah, that you take a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name and you rub it out. In this case of a Seder for the sake of Shalom Bayis. If you can rub out the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu with Shalom Bayis, am I not allowed to interrupt for the sake of Shalom Bayis? Again, I'm not passing as Locha Lamaisa. But that is a fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch. It is a knowledge of when one does something, when is one a Baal Chesed? When does one close one's Gemara and say, you know what, I'm coming to help my wife? On the other hand, you can't do chesed to everybody. Somebody's going to say this, I've got my phone off, I've got to sit and learn. When do you do this? When do you do that? The push and the pull, that takes tremendous amount of amola b'Torah. When a person's a Talmud Chacham, when a person knows the gvul, when a person has been mishamish a Talmud Chacham, and he understands clearly that there's a limitation to everything he does, that is when he becomes a proper elachid. That is when he knows how to follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways. That's imuchal kaysay teilechu. You know everything you're doing, you're going to carry on through life, you're going to walk through life in a very, very healthy way. Imuchal kaysay teilechu. Says Apostle, imuchal kaysay teilechu is parallel to v'nasati gishmeichem be'itom. I'll give you rain in the correct time. Ask any farmer, rain in the wrong time is a disaster. A little bit of rain in the right time is perfect. When is the rain good? When is the rain not good? The Kosh Baruch Hu says, you know what to do when, I know what to do when too. You know how to do the mitzvahs, when to do chesed, when to learn Torah, etc., etc. I will give you the amount of rain in the correct time. I know exactly how to balance that too. And that is Amala B'Torah. That is done for a person who learns Torah, a person who is involved in growing in Torah. He knows the limits to everything. There's one very big Talmud Chacham, Rav Kook, from Rehovot. He had a son. I don't think of any names too far exactly, but he lived as a neighbor of ours in a certain area in Yerushalayim. And I would see him helping his wife, you know, hanging up. He's a big Rashi, tremendous Talmud Chacham. You see him hanging up the washing and doing sponge with that, unbelievable. You know, when do you do this? I'm a Talmud Chacham. Somebody else can do it. Eshel Adeachim, Bittul Torah. Maybe it is, but he knew it wasn't. And that is Amola B'Torah, and that's Gishmeichim Mi'itom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you exactly what you need in the correct time because you know exactly the level that's needed. Similarly, on the same note, it says later on, this is a Gevaldige piece, in Chof Vav, Posek Mem Beis. V'zacharti es Brisa Yaakov, I'll remember the covenant with Yaakov, va'af es brisi Yitzchok, and also the covenant of Yitzchok, va'af es brisi Avram Ezkoir, for Ha'aretz Ezkoir, and also the bris of Avram I'll remember, and the land I will remember. So in this pasuk, there's obviously a few very, very important questions to be asked. Number one, why does the pasuk go in the reverse? I'll remember Yaakov, and Yitzchok, and Avram. It's just I'll remember Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. That was the order, that was the seder of the others. Firstly. Number two, what's Peshat when it says, I remember, Va'af es brisi Avram, Ezkoir, V'ho'oritz Ezkoir. What's his two things? Ezkoir, I remember him, and the Oritz Ezkoir, I remember the land as well. What's the idea behind that? What's the double Ezkoir business? What's he remembering over there? Now, the Medrash, listen to this, it's a beautiful piece. The Medrash says, that the, why does it say in this order, and he brings down, I think Rashi brings it down already, Loma nimno achironis, why is it written down backwards? Kloima, kedai hu, Yaakov afnakach, okay, Rashi gets one pshat. Another pshat is, because malamid shakulam shavim. The fact that someone says Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and here it says Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avram, it shows that they're all equal. So what is this? A popularity contest? Oh. Who's he? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. You know what? No, it's Yaakov, Yitzchak. They're all equal. Number, first of all, they're not all equal because Yaakov was a Bechira of us. Number one.
It doesn't be nice enough,
doesn't
it?
That's right. It says over there as well. Kulam Shavim, exactly. It says, who Moshe and who Arna Moshe, Shneim Shavim. But over here, but what's the idea over here? Yaakov, Yitzchak, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they're all Shavim. So, what he's trying to compare them, put them on a meter, who's exactly greater, who's less great. What interest? What does it make a difference as who's greater? What's the deal behind that? And again, what's his Ezkoir or its Ezkoir? So on that, the Medrash says, listen to this, it's a Machlekes Beishamayim Beisil. Beishamayim says, Shemayim was created first and then Ha'oretz. First Shemayim and then Ha'oretz. Beisil says, on the contrary, first the Oretz was created and then the Shemayim. Okay, Machlekes Beishamayim Beisil. Says Rishim Bayechai, yeah, very topical. Rishim Bayechai says, "Toma ani eich nechleku oveis ha'olam al briyas shemayim v'aretz." I'm amazed how they can argue about the creation of heaven and earth. Shani oime, I say shemayim v'aretz l'nivru ela ke'ilfa v'kisui. I say shemayim v'aretz were created like a pot with its cover. In other words, exactly the same time. Says Rabbi Loza, the son of Rabbi Shimon, "Im kadas sh'oma abo." If I'm saying like my father says, because everywhere else in the Torah it actually says Shemayim before Oretz, Hashem says another place Eretz and Shemayim, they're both equal. So Machlokes Beishamayim says Shemayim was created first and Oretz. Beisil says first Oretz and then Shemayim. Shemayim Yechai said both together. And we have a rat that we have one time the Pasuk says this, one Pasuk says the other way. They're both they're created at the same time. This is Adkan and Medrash. What's going on over here? What's going on? What's this Medrash Shneim Shavim? Why is it bringing to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What difference does it make? So I saw a beautiful piece from the Slonim. He says like this. He says there's a well-known machlekus between the Rebbe Reb Zusha and his brother Rebbe Reb Melech. How does one become an Eved Hashem with regard to being an Onov? Does one first look at Rebbeinu Shleilom? and see how great the Rabbeinu Shleilim is, how huge the Rabbeinu Shleilim is, and therefore compare the Rabbeinu Shleilim to me, and therefore I'm an Onov. And therefore you look at Rabbeinu Shleilim, you say Gadlus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you see who you are. You aware of this?
No.
No? The other, and the brother said no, on the contrary, you cannot start working how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is while you are a Baal Gaiva. First you break who you are, you make yourself into an Onov, and then once you're an Onov, then you can start appreciating Rabbeinu Shleilim. And this fight went on backwards and forwards. Those two brothers got at each other tooth and nail. You know the famous story when they want to learn Mishnayos Brachos, want to learn Chavrusa together. So they sat down, and Rebbe Lemelech starts, Me'ei Mesai Koyin Neshma Ba'avin, when does one start saying Kriya Shema in the evening? And Rebbe Zusha's shaking, with tears pouring down his face, sweat coming off his forehead. So what's the matter? He says, Me'ei Mesai Koyin Neshma Ba'avin, Mit'ayma, with fear we say Kriya Shema Ba'avin at night. Oy, with fear, and he starts shaking. Rebbe Lemelech says, it's not going to go very far, this Chavrusa, let's stop right now. But those are the two brothers, Rebbe Lemelech and Rebbe Zusha, had a big machlokes. So they went to Mezritcha of Magid, and the Magid Mezritcha of Magid said to him, I don't understand. That's not why you're arguing. It's not shaykh to do one without the other. In order to understand a Kodesh Baruch Hu's greatness, you've got to see, first, make sure you're not a Baal Gaiva, because it cannot be that Kodesh Baruch Hu allows you to see his greatness if you're a Baal Gaiva. On the other hand, you've got to see a Kodesh Baruch Hu's greatness to take you out of being a Baal Gaiva. It's got to work simultaneously, it's got to work together. He said, but if you want to start one before the other one, I would suggest you start on becoming an Onov first. Why? He says, because min ha'oretz ein noichlin. If you start from Shemayim you can fall down, but if you start from the ground you can't fall down from the ground. Okay, that's a famous mimer from the Mezritch Shemagid. Says the Slonimah, that's Peshat over here, machlekes Beishamim Beisil. Beishamim says Shemayim nivru tchila. The Shemayim was created first. In other words, for in order for me to become great, I've got to first look at the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Shemayim nivru tchila. First, look how great Kodesh Baruch Hu is, and then I'll be able to grow towards that. Beis Hillel says, no. Or it's nivru tchila. First, you've got to make yourself into an Onov. First, you make yourself into a little person down below. And then you can start looking at to Shemayim, and then working on who Rabbeinu Shleilam is. Says Rishim Ba'yechai, like the Mezritch Magid. No! What are you arguing? They're both done at exactly the same time. You've got to work on both. You've got to work on Shemayim and Oretz in order to become great. That's one Peshat. Another Peshat is Sur Mirava Seitoiv, a well-known Peshat. Sur Mirava Seitoiv. Is it Peshat? Sur Mira, and then Aseitoiv, get rid of bad and then become good. Or, you're Sur Mira through Vaseitoiv. You can't start working how bad I am, you know, and then start doing good. No. Start doing good, and that way you'll get rid of Sur Mira. That's a famous Machlokes. It's made together. Sumira, Aseitoiv, by Sumira, you've got to work together. That is how you become great. That is how you're going to become a Tamatan. That's how you're going to become an Eved Hashem. You work Shemayim and you work on Oretz. You work on Sumira, which is getting rid of the Oretz, and then Shemayim. Or you work on Shemayim, which is Aseitoiv, and get rid of the Oretz. It's got to work together. It's got to be one combined work, one combined activity. That's what's going over here. That's a medrash. Says a medrash, that's Peshat over here. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That could be Peshat. Everywhere else it says Avram, then Yitzchak, then Yaakov. What's Avram represent? Chesed. Yitzchak is Gevura. Yaakov is Tiferes from both. So everywhere I would imagine, start off with Chesed, and then move to Gevura, and then move to Tiferes. Says Apostle Kno, sometimes it's got to start off Tiferes, and then go to Gevura, and then go to Chesed. Shnehem Shovim. They're both ways, Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Both ways are the ways you got to follow Rabbeinu Shleilam. There's no way a person could be a flaming Kanoi and he wants to be an Elech Yid and not be an unbelievable Rachamon. Or vice versa. A Rachamon's got to be a flaming Kanoi. Shnehem Shkulim. You've got to know the balance. You've got to work on both and pull a little bit here and pull a little bit less there. You've got to work through life on the exact middle of the road. That's Peshat over here. So Shneim Shovim means over here that both the Rochim, that everywhere you work, is equal at certain times in life. And sometimes you've got to use your Rachamim and completely get rid of the Din. Sometimes Din and get rid of the Rachamim. And how do you do that? By Mola Batoira. being an Oman Batara, and therefore from the Sati Gishmeichim Be'etom. I met somebody recently, he said he's going to England, and he's never been, he's an American, he's never ever driven on the other side of the road. So how do you know he's scared, he's going to suddenly start driving wrong side of the road? I said, listen, one principle. The driver always sits in the middle of the road. Any country you'll go to, on the white line, the driver always sits on the white line in the middle of the road. And I realised, that's mamish, when you're driving through life, it's exactly it. The driver is always going to sit in the middle of the road. If you sit on the outside of the road too much to one extreme, you're going to have a terrible accident. You've got to sit always in the middle of the road. That is a driver. That's Shneim Shkulim. Sometimes Avraham you work on, sometimes it's Yitzchok, sometimes it's Yaakov. You've got to work it all together. That's one pshat. The Ksav Sofer says something very, very beautiful here. He says, "V'zachartis brisi Yaakov, v'afis brisi Yitzchok, v'afis brisi Avraham, eskoy v'oris eskoy." He said, why are we saying af? I'm going to say Yaakov, and also Yitzchok, and also Avraham. What's the also? And what's his eskoy? What's his double lashon eskoy? He said, when we try and motivate a Kodesh Baruch Hu to remember who we are, and we try and instill the idea of Schus Ovis, it's very, very dangerous. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, oh, these are the Ovis. Look at the kids. What a difference. Oh, Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik. Look at you. Look at you. So therefore, when you try and bring up Schus Ovis, you have to make sure it doesn't backfire. So he says that the chiddush over here is from one smaller chiddush to a bigger chiddush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I don't mind bringing up the Schus Ovis of Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov had a father and a grandfather who were Talmidei Chachamim. The fact that he was great, of course, anyone would be great if they had a grandfather and a father like Yitzchok and Yitzchok and Avraham. No big deal. And therefore, when I talk about him as being great, it won't be a kitrug on Klal Yisrael. So v'zachartis brisi Yaakov. So it's a pasuk va'afes brisi Yitzchok. You know what? I'll even bring up Yitzchok, and it also will be a kitrug. Why? Because Yitzchok didn't have a grandfather that was particularly great, but he had a father who was great. Therefore, it won't be a kitrug for you either. It won't be a kitrug. What's the best word for a kitrug? It won't be an accusation against you saying, hey, why aren't you like him? Because he had a father like Avram. Carries on a pasuk va'afes brisi Avram. Oh, this is bad news. Avram Avinu had a father Terach, and Avraham Avinu was great even though he had a father Terach. What about you, Klal Yisrael? What about you? Where's your greatness? So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? I can even bring Avraham Avinu. Why? Because Ezkoyer for Ha'oretz Ezkoyer. Whenever I remember Avraham Avinu, I remember the Oretz as well. What Oretz? Avraham Avinu became great. You know why? Because he has such Tzoros. And Tzoros with great people makes them great. And he went from place to place. He was hounded by this king and that king. He had terrible tzoros, and that's why he was great. You, Klal Yisrael, vayishman yishurim vayivot. You're sitting there in comfort. You're sitting there with the gold and silver, with all your security. Of course he went off to Derech. Of course it was difficult for you, I understand. So every time I mention Avraham Avinu, it won't be a kitrug because Eskoy v'ha'oretz Eskoy. I remember the land that you are living on now, how comfortable you are, and therefore if you're not a holding level Avraham Avinu, I can understand. Eskoy v'ha'oretz Eskoy. I remember where you're living in your comfort. From this we learn a few very, very important things. Number one, we understand how Bali Tshuva are the ones HaKadosh Baruch Hu respects the most. Yaakov, that we mentioned, okay, Yitzchok, but Avraham Avinu, wow, that makes a kitrug. You have to be very careful. Number two, it shows the greatness how a person, if he works correctly, how he can grow through suffering. Before I continue in this particular point, let's start with the Teichocha. The Teichocha go through a terrible, terrible, terrible list of suffering, of hunger, of golus, of depression, of anxieties. And right at the end of the parasha, before that, the Pasuk says, bear with me. Yeah. So you've got to see this from Moshe before that. It says, yeah, in Perek Chavov,
isn't it a bigger kitrug that he went through all the tzaras and became from, and we're sitting in all our comfort and don't become from? And
it's a good point. Yeah, that's, I want to address that point in a second. Exactly, absolutely right. So he says in the beginning of the parasha, he talks about all the wonderful things he gets. V'rod funichem chamishem me'o, you're going to be successful in battle. V'nisi aleichem, v'freisi eschem, I'll make you fruitful. V'rbeisi eschem, v'kameisis brisi itchem, I'll give you everything you possibly need. V'chalti yoshon noishan, you'll have successful business. V'nosati mishkoni b'seichichem, this is Perek Chof, Pasuk Yud Aleph. I'll give my mishkoni, I'll give my base midrash amongst you. V'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and I'll not be sickened by you. I'll not be nauseated by you. Wow. Can you imagine writing a birthday card to somebody, you know, to your colour or to your mother or to whoever it is, or your mother-in-law, you know, I love you so much, I think you're fantastic, you know, the more I get to know you, the more I appreciate you, and my love to you grows more and more, and I'll never be disgusted by you. It just doesn't seem to fit here. What's going on? Says Rav Moshe, very quickly, an unbelievable sharp thought. He says, this is talking about, the first part of the parasha is talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu telling us what will happen if we follow in the mitzvahs. Well, if you follow the mitzvahs, Im Chukai Sei Teleichu, this is referring to if you follow in the mitzvahs. He said you can get a person who follows all the mitzvahs. You get somebody who is keeping the Tarag mitzvahs, he's got his chavrusas, he's got shonen bayis, he's bringing up his children correctly, and you know what? There can still be a disgust HaKodesh Baruch Hu has for this person. Says HaKodesh Baruch Hu, let me tell you that I want it to be that it should be that I'm not disgusted with you. What's pshat? Says Rav Moshe, is an issa derais in the Torah of leisokim matzeva ashasona Hashem. Do not create a matzeva that Kodesh Baruch Hu hates. What's a matzeva? Matzeva is one big stone that you want to use to bring up korbanos to Kodesh Baruch Hu. One big stone. Is an issa derais to use one big stone. Asks Rav Moshe, what's wrong with making one big stone? On the contrary, one big stone is able to be worn much better. It doesn't fall apart. It's much stronger. Other rabbi, use this rather than using lots of different stones. Says Rav Moshe, you know why? Because with one big stone, there's no area for growth. You've got one big stone, there's nothing to improve on. If you have a mizbeach that is made of many little stones, you can always add on one more here, another one more here, another one more here. Even a beautiful big stone that feels it's complete and does not need any improvement, Asher Soneh Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates it. Says the parasha over here, you're following HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. You're doing, you have your chavrusas, and you have your kashrus, and you have your taras mishpoch, and you have your shabbos, and you have everything. But there can still be a level of Asher Soneh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills leSigal Nafshi Eschem. Make sure Hashem's not disgusted by you. How? Make sure that you never, there's a word in Yiddish which the Balaam Musa talk about, is the most disgusting word. It's called a zata. To be satisfied. Don't be happy with where you are. Don't be a zata. Don't be satisfied. I'm quite happy with where I am. I'm doing what I need to do. Never be satisfied where you are. Always look for growth. Always go and be greater. Always strive for growth. And if you don't strive for growth, and you want to be a matzeva, Rachman Litzlan, Asher Son Hashem Lekech HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates it, v'sigan Asher, I'll be disgusted by you. And if the Pasuk says, make sure it's not like that. Okay, let's just go back to the suffering idea. There's a couple of very, very important ideas, and I'll end off with that. In the end of Parshas B'chukosai, it talks about, Rachman Litzlan, if Klal Yisrael do not follow the mitzvahs, if Klal Yisrael creates a society that looks like in the 1920s and 30s, where people are intermarrying, where reform is rampant, where Klal Yisrael are getting lost amongst the Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us to bring us a Holocaust. And he did. And one would imagine that Parshas B'chukosai, or Sefer Vayikra, can end with this harsh warning to make sure we go in the correct ways. But it doesn't. The Parsha ends with the halachas, towards the end, the halachas of Erechin. Erechin is if a person wants to give the value of himself to the Beis HaMikdosh, and he says Erech Yolai or Erech Pleni Yolai, the other person, he has to give a certain amount. If it's a 30 shekel or 50 shekel, depending on age, depending with a man or woman, child, etc. Why does that come in over here? Why does it come in at the end of the Techocha Erechin? Says Rav Moshe Scherer, a beautiful vort. Rav Moshe Scherer says like this. He said, if you want to see the value of a Jew, that is brought out if you go through suffering. suffering brings out greatness. If somebody is great, suffering will make him even greater. If somebody is weak, suffering will wipe him out. We have the Teichocha, and we have terrible, terrible suffering there. But after that suffering, says the Pasuk, there's an element there of an Erechin. An Erechin means, how much is this Jew valued? He's valued by how he grows through his suffering. That is why Erechin comes after Teichocha. Rabbi Yoeli the Satmar Rav, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, a person came to him and said, Rebbe, the Gedolim were killed in the Holocaust. The Rosh Hashivas, the Rebbes. What do we have left today? Who's going to give us a bracha when you go back to America? He said, if you see a Jew who wears tefillin over a tattoo that he got in the concentration camp, go to him for a bracha. Because that is a gadol. A person can go through a Holocaust and feel connected to Rabbeinu Shloim, that is a gadol. There's somebody in my shul, Mr. Viflich, people from Mabit Shemesh know who he is. He is somebody who lost his son with an anti-tank grenade on Erev Pesach. And his son was going through near the Gaza border, visiting his grandmother to clean for her on Pesach. And he's the last person in the bus. And the Arab shot an anti-tank missile at the bus. And his boy was in intensive care. He had head wounds. And Nebuch, he was nift on Erev Pesach. And this is his man's only son. A lovely, beautiful boy. 16-year-old, he learned in the yeshiva, he's davening behind me, and his father every single day, at the end of davening, Yiskadeil v'yiskadei shmei rabo. That is godless, and that's a Jew. The godless of a Jew is that after a Holocaust, after Parshas B'chukosai, you can carry on the sale as an Erechin. You can become greater through this, and you can actually get the worth of a Jew is actually created through this. My sister lost a son a while back, and she said in one of the hespedim she gave to the women in town, she said there is twice during the Torah there is the precursor, the previously before that is terrible suffering, and then there's a shira. Twice in Torah, where is that? First, what you have, you see us Mitzrayim, so you have all the shiva Mitzrayim, all terrible what's going on in Mitzrayim, and then you have the shira of Oz Yashir. That's one place. Another place is at the end of the Torah in Parshas Devarim, in the Sefer Devarim. We have in Parshas Kisavoy, we have the Toichocha, and then we have in Parshas that Sovereign talks about the terrible suffering Klal Yisrael will go through, and I turn my face away from that side. V'chora api b'yoyim hahu, all the terrible suffering, and then it says, V'ato kis feliz ha-shira hazois, right, the shira? What is that? Parshas Hazinu. So in both places there's suffering, and then there's a shira. What's the difference between the way the Shira is written in both places? Do you know the difference? In the Sefer Torah, what will you notice the difference between both Shira? Exactly. In Parshas Beshalach, it's built like a riach, it's like bricks are built. It's like two and then one underneath, then two, the one underneath. It's built like bricks. The one in Hazinu is split with a big line, with a big gap in the middle. He said, you know what? Do you know the differences between the two? A person can have a house, and that house can be ripped apart. Sometimes a person will be happy, and sometimes a person will understandably be very, very upset. What's the difference? If a person's house got ripped apart by an earthquake or by a fire, then it's obviously he's terribly, terribly upset by it. But if a person's house is being ripped apart by the renovators because they want to build a huge extension upstairs on the roof, then he's uncomfortable. But it's growth. He'll be very happy. He's uncomfortable. He's very happy with what's going on. He sees the improvement. He said, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were so clear by the Yam Suf why they went through what they went through, that their suffering, they created the Shira and they built that as bricks. They saw the suffering was a building process. The Shira that came after the suffering was built as bricks. However, in the end of the Torah, in Parshas Hazinu, where he didn't have the clarity, then the suffering that came beforehand, all we saw was a space, a gap, a hole. Something that the Shira has said in a forced way, but he didn't see how the suffering created growth. They didn't see that, and that's why it's different in both places. Says of Shera, the Teichocha is done in a way to make a person greater. And that is why the Erechin, a person is valued by his growth after the suffering. That's one Peshat. But I just want to finish off with the Kotzka. The Kotzka says, why do you have Parshas Erechin after the Holocaust in the Parshas Bukhul Kaisai. I want to bring it out with a beautiful story with a child. There was a child, Nebuch, in the Holocaust. And the Nazi got him, and there was a big pit behind him. And the child said, this child was 13. He said, I understand you're civilized people. You know all these stories of cannibals and this kind of... You always give a person his last wish. You're surely going to give him a last wish. So the German said, of course, you know, civilized people. No, of course I'll give you a last wish. So what's your last wish? He said, a short prayer. He says, fine, I can wait. He said, but I need something to put on my head. So the German gave him something to put on his head. And he closed his eyes. And he said, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam sheloi osani goy. So the German said, what does that mean? He said, thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for not making me to a goy. And the German shot him. That's a story. There's another story of the Klausenberger Rebbe. The Klausenberger Rebbe, when the Nazis came into Klausenberg, they knew who the Rebbe was, and they took him in front of the whole town. The Rebbe was a gon olam. He had 11 children. He was part of a Ben Acha Ben from a tremendous Hasidic dynasty. A prince. And they took him, and they pulled his beard, and they pushed him, and they shoved him, and they kicked him. And they laughed at him and said, do you still believe you're the chosen nation? And the Rebbe said, absolutely! He got so annoyed, the commandant, he took his rifle butt and he smashed it on the Rebbe's head. And with blood pouring down his face, he's lying on the floor there. And he said, do you still believe you're the chosen people? He said, absolutely. And he kicks him and he punches him. And there's Nebuch, this Rebbe is bleeding, in the dust. He said, do you still believe? Yes, I believe. How can you believe? Look where you are. He said, because as long as we are the ones kicked about, and not kicking innocent people, will always be the chosen people. Rabbi Isai, that's what we're saying over here in this week's parasha. Says Akotska, there is a Holocaust. Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, have been through some very rough times. But the people who have become great through this, the individuals, every individual is still cherished by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, yes, I will kill 6 million people. But don't think for one second that a Jew is not valuable to me. Don't think for one second I don't value each and every Nefesh Yehudi. Of course I do. A Jew could be lying in the streets, beaten and kicked, and he says, Erchi Alai, my Erech goes to the Beis HaMikdash, then he has a value that is going to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. Because every Jew, however much he suffers, and however much looks spat upon by the Goyim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is a Ben Yochid, and he has an Erechin, and he has a value. And that's this week's parasha. This week's parasha is all about understanding how to go through life, how to navigate through life. Knowing what's important is to know exactly to be in the middle of the road. Evaluating every action to make sure it's not extreme. To know sometimes you've got to work on this in order to, like a tightrope walker. You got to sometimes walk on this side a little bit more to balance it out. That is the godless of a Jew. And that's the Sati Geshmeichim Be'itom. You'll get rain in the correct time if you know how to navigate through life. Malamei Shekulam Shovim. Sometimes Avram Avinu is right, sometimes Yaakov Avinu is right. Sometimes it's Chesed, and sometimes it's Gevurah, and sometimes it's Tiferes, and sometimes it's all three, and sometimes it's none of them. Sometimes you've got to work through life in a way that is a complete and utter balance. And that is Rishum Bayichai. You've got to work through it all together in order to have a complete Bria. Klal Yisrael had that, the concept of suffering has made Avram Avinu great. And that is a concept that applies to every single one of us. Hashem should never ever test us. But greatness is something that is brought out, sometimes, unfortunately, by suffering. And we shouldn't need it. We should all go through life without suffering. But ultimately, that's Parshas Erechin. Erechin follows on from the Tehocha, because greatness is built through by some people, if they have the correct ideas and the correct Hashkofa, is built through a Holocaust. And every single Jew, even through suffering, is valued by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And again, finally, the Ramesh's vault, we said beforehand, that with everything we have, and we even follow Kodesh Baruch Hu's ways, let's make sure we're not despised by Kodesh Baruch Hu, being complacent in Avodas Hashem. Always look for more. Always look to grow. And as Hashem, we'll get the brachos of M'chukai Saiteleichu.